You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, in segment number one, we talk about how MLS is so much better than the Premier League. It's so, so exciting. Toronto had a great game against the Red Bulls. Obrador is unbelievable. Another free kick. SKC against LA Galaxy. Donovan is back with a goal. Also, NYCFC against FC Dallas. Oh, yeah, the luxury Cooligans. That's what we are. All Lux all day.
Eating lobster mac and cheese with our pinkies up, baby. That's what we're doing in those luxury boxes. But in segment number two, we got Mourinho, Rooney. Who's going to get fired first? I think both of them get sacked. Both of them come to the MLS. I think it'll be pretty good. Leicester's in 11th place. 5 matches, 7 points. Oh, my God. What's worse, Manchester United being in 7th or Leicester being in 11th? Everton's in 2nd place, looking pretty good. Arsenal's doing pretty good. A lot of things are doing pretty good. I don't know what's going to happen as we move on, but in the third segment.
Segment number three, we talk about, in Cooligan's Corner, we talk about Tally Hall becoming a cop. We got goalkeepers becoming cops. Also, Yaya Toure in a weird custody battle. Also, Pulisic is getting spotted by MLS. Ooh, I'd never heard of that guy. Mm. And a German goalkeeper is a criminal because he gave up too many goals. All this and more on today's
Cooligan.
This is Jack Harrison from NYCFC, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Cooligan.
Yeah, we are back.
Yeah, thank you, fans, for listening in yet again. Oh, baby.
We're having a good time. I'm in a good mood.
You're usually not having a good time when you're like, we're having a good time.
I'm lying. I'm a big old liar.
Yeah. Big fat lie. That would be me.
No, for whatever reason, I feel like, it's only been a week since we did the show, but it feels longer.
You think so?
Yeah, it just feels like it's been a long time.
I think last week I was a little low energy too. You know, I was very tired.
Yeah. I couldn't stop thinking about that the entire week.
Were you? Right. Like,
you really didn't bring it.
Yeah. Well, this one's going to be different, everybody. Squirt, squirt, bang, bang.
Thank you for listening to the Cooligans.
Yeah.
My name is Christian Polanco.
And I'm Alexis Guerrero. And so if you're listening, hopefully you know that already.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes this might be, there might be a first time listener.
We're always getting new listeners. So you're 100% right.
Yeah. And we, hello, new listener.
Hey, listeners.
We only allow one at a time. We're like a nightclub. That's just like, nope. All right, no, we're full now.
How many girls did you bring? All right, you can come.
Yeah, you can't listen to this podcast unless you listen with a couple girls.
Yeah, you got to have a couple ladies with you, and the shoes got to be right, dog. Don't come in here with no Jordans.
What are you talking about? What is that hat? Don't wear no hat. You can't listen to our podcast with a hat on.
Hoodie? Get up out of here with that hoodie. Leave it in the car, bro.
I need you wearing ugly dress shoes and bootleg cut jeans.
Is this podcast take place? This nightclub is in Dallas. Bedazzled shirts where the guy folds the sleeve up and the fabric on the other side is different than the rest of the shirt. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
That's like a very Dallas look.
Ugh. Oh, man, I got to get one of those shirts.
You want one of those things? It's like paisleys everywhere.
I do have one shirt that I got from like The Gap. That has like the cowboy kind of like, so you know the two pockets in the front, but that has like the stitching that is like it's diagonal towards like, towards you, like
I know what you're talking about. It's like a Sadie Hawkins dance.
Yeah. So I have one of those, and you know, for some reason it like looks good on the rack, and I'm like, that's a good shirt. I need that shirt.
That's my whole life, buddy. That's my entire fucking life,
and then
right there.
I put on one of these cowboy shirts.
Yeah,
and it never works.
Nothing.
It just doesn't work on me.
I'm watching TV. I'm like, hey, that soccer player looks great in that shirt. I think I'm going to get one. And I'm like, oh, that's right. I don't have the body of a statue. The body of the statue that I have is Buddha. It's not built for soccer shirts.
Yeah. It's always sitting.
Never always sitting. Well, why would you be standing? Oh, man. Speaking of sitting and standing, we had a great, great time at the NYCFC match, but we're going to talk about that in a little bit. MLS is really, really exciting.
You know what? Look, this is, I was thinking about this a lot because MLS, you know, this.
I've been thinking a lot about that, about a lot this week.
I've been very pensive.
Yeah. Let me Google pensive real quick.
the last few weeks, MLS is in its final games before the playoffs.
Yeah. What do we have? Four left?
We have four left.
Oh, man.
Most teams have four or five games left.
Yeah. Some teams have like 12 left. It's very odd. Just one team. He's like, who's he playing? What are they playing?
But I've been, you know, last year when we were, you know, we would do a lot of segments where we would talk about Premier League before MLS.
Yeah.
And I generally had this feeling like, you know, a lot of people want promotion relegation. They don't, you know, some people are not really into the playoff format that we have. But I got to say, even these last few weeks since the Premier League started, MLS has been by far more entertaining than the Premier League.
Oh, my God. It's the amount of, and we're going to talk about three matches right now in the MLS, and all three of them are draws. And I wish that they were like the anti-soccer fans in the U.S. who are like, there's not enough scoring. Giannis Pappas to be one of them. Good friend.
Comedian,
hilarious. Some of you guys might know him as Marisa, you know, Westchester.
That's right. Marisa loves soccer, though.
Yeah, Marisa, big soccer fan. Well, she's Puerto Rican from the Lower Side. She might not. She's a big basketball fan. You know, and Mr. Panos, for our Greek listeners, you guys might know him. He is not anti-soccer, but he's just, I don't know, scoring. It's not really that exciting. If he had been at the match we were at, the NYCFC match, or if he was at the Toronto Red Bull match, or if he was at the SKC Galaxy match, I don't think he would ever repeat those words again. Those were three very exciting, exciting matches. And as I'm a huge Arsenal fan, we won 4-1. That was nowhere near as exciting as these draws.
Yeah, for whatever reason, I'm feeling like the Premier League this season is incredibly unbalanced. I don't know. I feel like the games themselves have not really been.
Well, it's also the beginning of the season.
It might be that too.
Yeah. I mean, remember back when MLS was like the first 2 or 3 weeks. No one's really sure what's happening just yet.
Yeah.
The only thing we're all really sure of is Pogba's a bust, but we'll talk about that in the second segment.
He has, you know, 3 weeks to figure it out. And now he's been a waste of money.
The most expensive player in the world. But you know what isn't a bust? Toronto versus Red Bull. Did you watch this live or did you watch
it? I watched it live.
National
television. It was on Fox.
Oh, was it on Fox? That's really cool. See, I watch it through I'm part of that Roku program.
Yeah.
Where we watch it. So you never know. Like, it does, nothing feels live TV. Everything feels like you clicked a button on an app. But the funny thing about Toronto was, all right, so for fantasy heads, I need to make a strong comeback, and I'm in third place, I think. And I had Bradley Wright Phillip. I did it. I finally picked a Red Bull.
Oh, no.
And I made him my captain, which was like, bam, 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 you know?
While wearing an NYCFC shirt now?
Oh, of course I had to. I cried a little bit. Mm-hmm. But then I also picked Altidore, and I was like, yo, I think they're going to beast. Dude, in the same match, two were monsters.
What, 5 goals between the two?
Four goals.
Right.
Yeah, they both had braces. I don't think Bradley Wright Phillip got the hat trick.
No, that's right. I said, I said, four goals.
Yeah. No, it was a monster match between the two, between the
braces for the top and bottom teeth.
Yes, absolutely. Very nice. Well done, Polanco. Shut this down. End of the episode. We got a title. But I mean, one of the things that I noticed was both teams look so different throughout the entire match. In the beginning, it looked like, oh, Toronto's never going to be able to score. They're never even going to be able to get in their final third. And then by the end of the match, I was like, what the hell is Red Bull doing?
Yeah, I think what's been happening, especially the last few weeks, and we all know the Red Bulls and Jesse Marsh have a Liverpool-esque, Jurgen Klopp-esque, Gegenpressing.
Gegenpressing. Yeah, it's very effective, but you're right. It does remind me more of Borussia Dortmund's, like, just constantly attacking like a swarm.
They put a lot of pressure on especially teams like NYCFC, and Toronto also does. They play out of the back often.
Right.
So they put a lot of pressure. And it really seems like we've been seeing the results the last couple of weeks. You know, the last week, Red Bulls gave up 2 goals in the final minutes against DC United. And it's really seeming like the Red Bulls are getting tired. I mean, I don't know what else.
Well, that's the thing about that system. It runs you ragged. I mean, you have to be really, really deep to be able to play that style, which is why we see guys like Pulisic come in, you know, and be able to, and they don't start every single match. They sort of sit down for a couple matches, mm-hmm. which I know Tuchel is a little different, but you can't do that. I don't think you can do that successfully in the MLS. I think you're playing for the supporter shield, to your point, because we're nowhere near as deep. We just don't have the ability to do that because of the cap. Yeah. So we can't make our benches in this league deep enough to be able to have that talent, unless maybe you just develop these players, which, you know, Red Bull Academy, for everything bad we can say about Red Bull, for not being able to draw fans and, you know, everything we want to say, how terrible, you know, the coach has been, you know, sort of personality-wise. These guys have the best academy, if not the second best academy in the league. And they still, I don't think they can develop the type of talent that you need to be able to run this thing through an entire playoffs.
I would say from an offensive standpoint, Red Bulls are incredibly strong. I mean, yeah. Kleschen, Bradley Phillips, like
Grella, out of nowhere.
They know what they're doing.
Moyle sometimes
but
gets
it,
up there.
It does seem like a fitness thing. But
is it their fault? I mean, they play. It's a summer league. I don't think you can play that style throughout an entire summer and come out of the other end.
Well, you know, Marsh made change, but they were up 3-1. If you're up 3-1 in the second half, you should have that match. I mean, there's no real excuse. And for it to happen this consistently,
right,
it really shows that there is a problem that needs to be addressed.
For sure.
So for whatever reason, if it's a fitness issue, it seems like the Red Bulls are best when they do. They're best in the first half, like when they can get goals early on and then just try to like keep the boat afloat for the second half. That seems to be what the strategy is, because there were some changes made. Dax McCarty came in,
which we haven't seen him in a while. He was injured.
Yeah. So he came back and he. I'm not gonna say it's his fault. I mean the
go ahead and say it.
The third goal. I forgot. I think it was from Endo to Altidore.
Yeah,
he made that great move,
right?
To get it past Robles, like to get it past the defender and also past Robles.
Yeah,
but it was, you know, maybe McCarty could have pushed up a little bit, played a little bit.
I see what you're saying,
but it was a tough pass regardless.
It was a great pass. It would have been hard to defend it anyway.
Exactly.
But I think the thing that's kind of that you look at it is. When they play that style with the lack of depth that we have, it's like this was the big thing, I think, for us as NYCFC fans last year with this constant jostling of the first 11. It's like, pick a starting 11, dude.
Yeah.
You know, because you have to continuously build this, you know, this chemistry with everyone. And I think that's what you saw when you saw Dax McCarty come in. It's just that, a little rusty for sure.
Yeah, I feel like that's not the... For someone who hasn't played much the last, last 2 months, that's probably not the best position to put him in because...
Well, you would imagine you're up 3-1.
You're up 3-1, but
against a team that has a lot of attacking prowess, though.
But to ask him to be like a defensive force when he is rusty is probably not the best...
Good point. Yeah.
...decision. And that's all.
You know, maybe Marsh was thinking like, we sort of can protect him with all these other players that are going to be swarming. But, dude, they picked him apart, you know?
Well, I mean, you have to give complete credit to Toronto because, oh, my God.
The cardiac kids.
Jozy Altidore... He's carrying the team.
Boy is on fire.
If Toronto can keep that sort of pressure on the Eastern Conference, and once Giovinco should be back in about a week or two,
yeah.
They're going to be really, really scary. They're going to be a tough team.
Although, don't you worry a little bit about, having Giovinco there? Now all of a sudden, I know when Altidore came back, when he was starting to really catch fire, it was because Giovinco was passing him the ball a lot. But, don't you get scared a little bit? I'm not saying you don't want Giovinco back, but everything's working really, really well right now. Although they've done this before. When Michael Bradley was out, Shea Rue was amazing. And then, you brought Michael Bradley right back in.
They're going to be fine.
They're going to be, you think?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be any issue. Whatsoever.
We're getting close to the playoffs. Who do you think is going to be the one? What do you think the final is going to be? Have you given that any thought? We didn't talk about this pre-show, so
I don't know. I think
FC Dallas. I don't think anyone's going to beat FC Dallas.
Think anyone's going to be FC Dallas.
LA Galaxy maybe. Now that they have,
I really have a good feeling about NYCFC, and I'm not speaking. I am very biased, obviously. But I think they have they've been in first place for a few weeks this season. They can make magic happen from time to time. They're a difficult team to just put away. Outside of the 7-0 loss, if they play anybody but the Rebels, they seem to be a difficult team to put away. And I think what's going to happen is there's going to be a playoff game between the Red Bulls and NYCFC.
Well, that's going to be a big one.
And that's
going to
be...
How many fans are going to die? I think how many sandwich boards are going to die? Before we talk about NYCFC, that Sporting Kansas City LA Galaxy match.
Yeah.
I mean, what has happened to Sporting Kansas City this year?
Yeah, they've been... they haven't been... such a strong team. Dom Dwyer was out for a while. They've had their issues. They seem to be... inconsistent, I guess, is the fairest word.
No, I think you're right. And I think there's two names that, you know, everybody was talking about. Look at these DPs. And we locked up our local boys, Zusi and Beasler. Beasler got beat really easily by Allen Gordon. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, Beasler was like fell on his ass. Allen Gordon didn't move score a header. His feet didn't leave the ground.
It was a good pass, but he also didn't play it right. I mean, he didn't see where at least if you're not going to get the ball, it just overshot him when, in the cross. Like, at least, you know, box out. Like,
yeah, put a body on the
put a body on the you make it a little tougher for him.
Yeah, at least make the highlight look like you tried. You know, by the time the ball went in the net, he was sitting on his ass.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
It was a bad move. I mean, this game ended 2-2. Again, Sporting Kansas City, even though they gave up the early goal, they really from after they gave up the first goal to the two they scored after, they really looked like the more dominant team. They looked like they really wanted to win that game.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you put Landon Donovan in a game, anything can happen.
Magic can happen. And you know what? I will say that he still looks really rusty. It's going to happen. He doesn't look as sharp as he used to be.
Yeah, he's definitely not as fast.
No. Like, and even the goal he scored, he seemed really unsure. The ball didn't have any zip behind it. It was placed correctly.
It was very placed very well.
But it was passed. It wasn't shot. And
I don't know. That was a good shot.
Dude, look at, I mean, him and Michael Bradley had very similar goals. Michael Bradley, you know, made the net move, you know. Landon Donovan seemed skittish, to use a term that was once said about Eli Manning, and you can no longer say that about him. But, you know, he seems
skittish.
Is Landon
Donovan not elite?
Yeah. I'm not going to answer that because there are some fans that may be upset.
Yeah, who was it that tweeted at us asking, oh, Landon Donovan scored?
Yeah, see that?
Yeah.
And then he put the three goats.
How do you feel about him now? Yeah.
Yeah, and again, you know, people take jokes way too seriously. They seem to think that the Cooligans is part soccer, part hating Landon Donovan.
Which I don't know. Yeah, I don't want to be associated with that.
No, me neither. I don't think any of us are.
He's an American hero.
American, real American hero. It's G.I. Donovan. What I took away from that match is, you know, LA Galaxy loses Nigel De Jong, who's there to be the defensive midfielder. They seem fine. I mean, they're going to get scored on, but they have the ability to score on everyone. And Giovanni Dos Santos was a substitute for that match. He wasn't even in there. You know, this is a guy who scored, I think, two or three in the previous match. They're stacked also.
Yeah, I mean, Gerard is out still with an injury. I think they're sort of adjusting defensively to De Jong, you know, being gone.
Right.
You know, because it's great when you have like one of the monstars on your team. Yeah. You feel a little safer.
Yeah. But you hear a crack and you're like, oh, is he back out there? Oh, no, all right. Somebody was just breaking.
So they're adjusting. But look, I think it took a lot of, I don't know. I don't want to use the word courage. I feel like that's the wrong word. But it was a big deal for Donovan to score and to score so quickly. I mean, he was on the pitch for 2 minutes at most.
Yeah. He scored as he was entering.
The guy like put the board down for the substitute. Yeah, and he's like, oh my god, wow.
Already?
I'd even shut off the numbers. Yeah.
Should I put something on the board for that? Do I have to put up something now? Weird to see him with number 26 on his back, but
yeah, he had he was 10, right?
Yeah, he was 10 for a long time. But yeah. You know, I mean, you got a good core of players there in Los Angeles. Sporting Kansas City flip flopping all over. You know, fish out of water. Look, I don't know what's going on.
They're in sixth place. They're 5 points ahead of Seattle. I think
they look like they're getting in.
Yeah, they're gonna get in. I mean, Seattle, I don't really think that they have much of a shot. Unless something crazy happens.
Is Seattle in seventh?
They're in seventh with 35 points.
So Portland, where's Portland?
But they also have two games in hand.
Yeah, that's the big danger. Where's Portland at right now?
Portland's in fifth. They went up to fifth.
Very nice. All right, cool. Why don't we do this? Let's talk about our amazing experience.
This was great. Oh my goodness. Thank you, NYCFC.
NYCFC.
Thank you, Sarah.
Sarah West. I don't want to say her whole name. All right. Sarah. We'll just say that. Sarah W. Let's just say this, that we have been to every home match we've ever been to. We stood for all 90 minutes.
That's right.
And that's what you do as a soccer fan. And if you sit down, I don't really respect you. Well, then I don't respect both of us for this last match.
And that's another question. Like for the most part, you see people in European matches, specifically Premier League, people, even though they have seats, they are standing. right? That's like a common...
Well, they took away the safe standing areas. There used to be standing only areas where there were no seats.
Okay.
And they took that away because that's where like people would just pile in. There weren't like a certain number of tickets sold. Like people would just go in and people would get like trampled.
It was like general admission.
Yeah, kind of, but like anyone who had money can get in there. So people would get like trampled and, you know, people would get pushed around a lot. People would lock arms.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
It was very tough. So, yeah, I mean, they still stand in front of their seats, you know. So if you're a NYCFC fan and you are of the supporters, every team has a supporter section. The NYCFC's fans stand in the bleachers and you stand for the whole match. Unless you're pregnant or something, you kind of get yelled at if you sit down.
Even if you're pregnant.
If you're pregnant. Girl, how many months? It's not enough.
You know your baby's standing in there.
Yeah. You think your baby's sitting right now on your pelvis like a bench? So we got invited to the suite, an executive suite. I don't know what it is.
Luxury suite. Yes, everything was made of gold.
I hadn't eaten all day, so I was waiting for you. The trains were all fucked up.
Yeah.
So I was waiting for you. I'm like, I'm not going to keep waiting. I'm just going to grab my ticket and go upstairs. Christian can handle it on his own. As I'm being walked upstairs, the person that is escorting us up goes, I hope you're hungry. We ordered a lot of food. I'm like, get the fuck out of the way. You know, I was so hungry. Yeah. Dude, they had pizza. It wasn't great pizza, but they had pizza. They had hot dogs. Really?
Papa John's? Is that what it was? The greatest of pizzas?
Is that what it was?
That's what it was.
Oh, yeah. I'm not eating that. I've never eaten Papa John's before. I refused to eat it, so I'm happy that I didn't eat any of that.
It's mostly because of your daddy issues. The Papa in there. You're like, oh no.
Papa John. Well, you know, Papa Young in Spanish and Cuban dialect means huge vagina. Papa Young.
Mm.
Well, glad I put that into this podcast.
Is that why the pizzas are shaped like V's?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All the pepperonis at the top, but you have to find it under a piece of cheese. Oh, the emails. Okay. So they had hot dogs. They had pulled pork sliders with bacon and blue cheese coleslaw.
Yeah.
They had lobster mac and cheese. And then at halftime, they bring a bunch of dessert trays in.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Free beer, free water, free wine, which someone took way too much advantage of in front of his daughter. And it was just incredible. What a way to watch a game.
It was pretty cool. I had never been to a luxury suite of any sort of sports event.
So I went to the old Yankee Stadium luxury suite, which was just, it looked like an empty conference room.
Yeah.
These are beautifully built. They kind of remind me when we did the tour of the Emirates, where it's like you have like almost like a small apartment and then you open like a patio door and you have two rows of seats to yourself.
Yeah.
That's kind of what they're like.
There was like there was a Murphy bed in there.
There was a Murphy bed.
We're at somebody's house.
A roommate. Like, what's up, bro? He's like, no, leave me alone. Wait, my bananas. Sorry, they're going to bring desserts at halftime, bro.
It was pretty cool. Yeah. I got to say, we were basically center pitch. I guess with the tour, it would be second base at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Third base. Yeah. And it was great. It was cool. It was cool for the luxury part of it and the food and look, the experience is kind of nice. But for me, I prefer the supporter section. The passion that you feel when there's a goal, when there's a great play, is you feel like you're more immersed.
Right, it's more amplified.
Yeah, because when there's a goal that happens, and there's just like we were sitting next to like oil sheiks.
Like there's some oil dudes there.
It was like all these rich people. I'm like, they're like
no passion by the way.
Yeah, they're like politely golf clapping after Kyrie's like amazing goal.
And they're like wonderful goal. And I'm like, what? That's not what you do. And you know, it's funny. I watched a replay of Steven Mendoza's miss, and you could see people smacking the side of the wall from the supporter section. I was like, that's how I felt. I should have been there. There was no one to, you're right. There's no one to feel those emotions with you.
Exactly.
Yeah, no one emoted nearly enough.
Yeah. And we were just as happy and frustrated throughout the.
I was yelling.
But being in it is definitely incredible.
And I mean, come on, you know, free beer, free water, free food. You know, that's pretty great.
If you have the opportunity, the money, I'd recommend it maybe for a game or two. Well, you know, watching from the luxury box.
Well, my wife got herself a man who could do both. We can go into the luxury suites whenever we're invited for free.
Exactly.
Or, you know, we can.
It was very affordable, I got
to
say.
Yeah. For us, seemed like almost like a better deal than actually paying to go to the game. But I did miss the supporter section. Although I got to be honest, those seats are very comfortable. They're leather. It's very it's kind of nice to sit.
It's nice. You know, when I'm an octogenarian, I'll get the luxury box.
What is an octogenarian?
An 80-year-old person.
Oh, Jesus. You sure you're from Brooklyn? All right.
I'm just a kid from Brooklyn.
Yeah, just a kid from Brooklyn. When I'm an octogenarian, that's what I'm going to go.
But the game itself was incredible. FC Dallas came to Yankee Stadium. NYCFC got an early goal from Tommy McNamara. Yes. Amazing assist from Jack Harrison.
Jack Harrison with two assists.
Two assists, yeah.
That pass to Kyrie Shelton. Kyrie Shelton leveling up. He gets rid of that stupid haircut.
I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah, you thought it was kind of cool. I think it's our
fault. I was
fault.
Growing my hair to be like his, and all of a sudden he cuts his. So now
to look more Dominican. And now what are you going
to
do?
What am I going to do? I don't know what to do anymore.
You got to call your cousins. Let me look like you a little bit. Look, really, really impressed with how Kyrie Shelton's come back. The one thing I'm most impressed with is he's taking players on.
He is.
And, you know, this is something like, you know, Columbus, you know, Ethan Finley, he's one of those guys that can take players on. You know, Kyrie Shelton, for the longest time, he's got the pace, he's got the skill, he's got the body, he's got the shape, he's got the weight. Like, he reminds me of like Altidore.
Is this like America's Next Top Model?
I'm sizing him up.
This fine physique of a man.
we're going to turn his body into a jacket. So we're sizing him up. No, like, he has the body of someone who can be pushing players out of the way.
He is good. This is my only sort of concern about Kyrie is, if you compare him to like Jack, right? And they're opposite wings. Like, Jack is very good one-on-one, even though this time he struggled a little bit.
Yeah.
He was.
It seems like the league has sort of figured out some of his moves.
Exactly.
And he needs to sort of now take on players in a much more creative way.
But Kyrie, I don't think he's one-on-one, that's not his strength. He's not super technical.
But it needs to be.
I think he'll improve. And I think this is why Vieira's, you know, he keeps putting him in games. And every time he subs in, he's making a difference.
Right.
And he's responsible for, you know, the last, like, couple goals.
I mean, the guy's great, especially now in missing, you know, Lampard, which he got injured. And he looks like he's going to be out 3 to 4 weeks. Having a player like Kyrie Shelton that can come off the bench, you know, and I wish he could be a center forward. He has the height for it. I wish he had the ability to pass.
But he doesn't have the skill.
He doesn't have that skill because Mendoza's going to essentially be a center forward. That guy, he's 4'3".
Yeah. But I'm wishing for Kyrie. I would just love to see him be able to have a few more moves similar to Jack. I think that would be such a great addition to his game, because look, especially when he comes in, the defenders are probably a little bit gassed, and he can just burn by people. But look, that last goal was such a heads up play, no pun intended. I mean, he saw Jack with the ball. The timing was perfect, and
that pass curled right onto his forehead.
Beautiful left footed pass. What I was most impressed with was Kyrie's absolute desire and will to head that ball in. I mean, and he not only does he go for the ball, but he fights with the defender for the positioning and buries it in. And it was a great,
it's perfect.
And it was great to see. And you really see why Vieira is happy with him. And finally, you know, he didn't play for
a long period of time,
2.5 months, something like that. So obviously, like, in training, he's taking things more seriously, and we're seeing the results.
Yeah, right? let's hope Mix listens to Kyrie. I know that Mix got a girl now, so they don't hang out as much, which is true.
This is weird show.
The Cooligans break all the way in. We're keeping up with
Mix.
Mix
got a girlfriend. Brangelina is over. Yeah.
Keep up with Kyrie and Mix. That's what we like to do. Look, it was an exciting match. All three matches really, really exciting, and they're all draws. You got 3-3 with Red Bull. You got 2-2 with Galaxy. 2-2 that way. Excuse me.
Well, it could have been 3-2,
and it should have. It also could have been 4-3. FC Dallas. And look, I said this from the beginning. FC Dallas just won the U.S. Open Cup. They're the best team in the league. They're in the running for winning the Supporters Shield. If we took a draw, if we took a point away from this match, I'm happy.
Yeah,
I know they played a midweek match, but whatever. Pirlo could have gotten a better hit on that sort of lofty ball he sent right into the hands of the keeper. A lot of things could have gone the opposite way. So,
But Mendoza.
In the clear.
Just
in front of the supporters.
You had it. You had it, buddy.
Broke our heart.
It was.
I yelled a lot.
It was tough to Yeah, it was tough to sort of accept that because look, the Tesho Akindele off the post. Look, that could have gone in.
Yeah,
but man, I don't know, it's just
There's something about that.
Not even getting it on frame, and he wasn't too far. He was more to the left post than to the right.
Yeah,
and he just hit it a little too far wide, and it's just a
bad hit. You know, for someone with his pace, and you know, if you look up his highlight reel from before he came, he looked like a good finisher, and he's just not doing it. Are the goals smaller here? What is it? Because he seems to be missing a lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's provided some pretty good goals.
So Lampard's going to be injured. He's going to be out for a few weeks. Yeah. He looks like he's not going to come back until the playoffs.
Who do you think is going to who should replace Lampard? Just swap him for Mendoza?
I think it looks like Mendoza is going to start in that position. I think that's a mistake.
I think so too.
I kind of wish Mix was still a part of the team. Because I think Mix could play perfectly there. That's his position.
Yeah, Mendoza, I don't really think of him as... I feel like he's a defensive liability.
Well, I mean, you know, he doesn't have to go back and defend. And he's fast enough to at least cover ground.
Yeah.
You know, please let's not start Matarita forward. I'm really, really happy. I think our back line is still a big issue, but I'm really happy that RJ Allen is back at right back.
Mm-hmm.
Really happy about that. Chanel looks like he's, I think, I don't know how much longer he's going to be out for.
It's like a back issue. Hopefully he'll be back soon.
Hopefully he's back soon because him and Briant. And Briant was amazing. You know, Briant, if you look at the highlights of that Tasha Akindele miss, deflected to the post, Brian is running behind him, pointing at where he's going because he can see his hips widening out, opening up. So he's pointing where it's going to go. So he helped. Saunders. If Saunders saw him, he helped. And then as Mena never cleared the ball, remember, sort of trickled back into the foot of another player. I believe it was Rudy. It was Briant who came back and stuck his foot in the way and cleared the ball so that there was no shot, which definitely would have gone in because Saunders was all the way on the other side. So, you know, give it up to Briant. And, you know, again, the back line is still a little iffy. But again, a comeback draw in our own house.
It's not bad. But also, there's only four games left, and I feel like the back line shouldn't be iffy.
Yeah. We're still here for some reason. Yeah. But look, my back line that I would want, Matarita, Chanel, Briant. I don't care who's in what position there. And then RJ Allen on the other side. I just trust those guys.
Okay.
You know, and if you lose with those guys, you lost with them.
I'll trust them with my baby.
Yeah. Toss your baby at them. Just toss your baby at them.
And they just clear the baby. That's not what I meant. But still, good job.
But they put him in a bin like 50 yards away, and you're like, you know what? Still pretty great. It's pretty great. You know, they know the weight of a football, but they don't know the weight of a baby, and they got that pretty exact. He's in the fourth row. Can we get the baby out of the fourth row? Look, why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break here from our sponsor?
Yeah.
And we'll come back with a little talk about EPL.
All right, let's do it.
All right, we'll be right back after these words from our sponsor. Hey everybody, this is Alexis from the Cooligans. I'm breaking in just to talk to you a little bit about Mack Weldon. I've talked about this underwear before. They're absolutely amazing. And look, they sell more than underwear. But here I'm going to tell you about this underwear because I guarantee you that the underwear that I'm talking about is better than the garbage you have at home, okay? I know that because I have that same garbage. Now I have a pair of Mack Weldon underwear. Absolutely incredible. I was at a wedding in the woods. I don't know who got married in the woods. I don't understand why they just can't have it in a hall. Like everyone else with parents arguing, they decided to do it out in the middle of the woods. I danced my ass off. I must have danced for about 4 or 5 hours straight. My knees are killing me. I'm an older man now. I don't know what's happening to me. But you know what didn't bother me? The fucking underwear I was wearing. It smelled amazing when I took them off. I danced all night. I wore them to sleep. I woke up the next morning, took them off, and I was like, you know what? Let me check these one more time. I smelled them incredible. Again, gave them to my wife. You know what she said? They don't smell bad, which that's world-class level. That's gold. It's winning gold in the Olympics level for my underwear. They usually smell bad coming back from the cleaners, and they're like, we don't know what to do with these things. These things smell good on the way to the cleaners. It's incredible. It's totally different. I don't know what to say about it. They're magic. They're made out of mirror station. I don't know what they're made out of, but you guys got to go try them. Go to MackWeldon.com. If you use the code Cooligans, you're going to get 20% off. That's COOLIGANS. You're going to get 20% off the best damn underwear you can get. MackWeldon.com. Yeah, we're back.
We are back.
Sorry, you were taking a sip of your water.
I was taking, yeah. And yeah, so we want to have some synergy, and but then no, forget all that.
No, forget all that synergy. Why wait till you're done drinking water before I hit play or record? Let's just do it. Squirt, squirt, bang, bang.
Welcome to segment number two. Yeah,
yeah. It's like, cool, are you welcoming
of
people
the Cooligans
to the second segment?
Look, we still have to make our new listener comfortable. Because
that's right.
This is all very new to them.
You're going to have to find a room. And please bring your luggage upstairs.
And we're going to talk some Premier League.
Premier League. And I know we said MLS has been way more exciting, but it doesn't mean that the Premier League has had nothing going on.
Exactly.
My favorite thing that's going on right now is the slight, it's almost like the Titanic is starting now to sort of take that nose dip in that it was famous for before it broke in half over at Manchester United.
Wow, okay. So it's only 5 games in, and it's already the Titanic.
And you know what it is? This is what happens when you have Mourinho as your manager.
Yeah.
And especially when you are Manchester United, you are, you know, the most the most expensive brand.
This is the biggest club on the planet.
And they make more money than everyone else. They have the biggest, the biggest partnerships, and you have the most expensive player in the world. You know, you sold previously the most expensive player in the world. Now you've just purchased the most expensive player in the world, and he hasn't done fuck all for you.
Yeah, Pogba. Look, and this was a discussion before he arrived, of like where would he play, and it really looks like that's the big decision. I mean, he's a defensive midfielder,
right? But he likes to roam forward.
But he has a lot more to offer,
right?
And it looks like he's not playing in his best position. And we
you know where I think he would play the best?
Where?
Juventus. Yeah. I mean, come on. He needs those players around him. And honestly, they wouldn't have been able to buy Higuain without his money. But him, Higuain, and Dybala together, that is an insane club. That is a Champions League winning club.
Yeah, it seems like, I don't know if it's Mourinho, because of Mourinho's sort of tactics, Pogba does not look, he doesn't look like the same Pogba of last season.
Here's what I'll ask you. What tactics? He switched to a 4-3-3 last match. That's the least Mourinho move of all time.
I think there hasn't been.
Was it the Derby loss, you think, that just put him on the, like, they haven't been the same since?
There aren't the flashes of brilliance. I feel like
you're right.
I feel like the people that are consistently sort of bringing it. I mean, Ibrahimovic he's reliable. I mean, he's getting real opportunities.
Right.
And I think, we didn't really expect that from the 34-year-old man. And we thought that sort of the younger players would sort of do more.
Right.
But I don't know. There's definitely an issue with chemistry. I mean, clearly.
Yeah. And I think that all stems from Rooney. He had an abysmal match. And I know he started well, but what a terrible match. I mean, he looked like someone gave him a downer. I mean, he looked out of place. He couldn't pass the ball. He whiffed on a couple strikes. It was atrocious.
Well, because of the loss to Watford, and Manchester United lost to Watford 3-1.
3-1.
And that's a bad loss on the,
although Watford's playing really well.
They are, but
they
still
got Deeney and Ighalo. I mean, they got other players that we don't know. I mean, they're a good club.
They have a good,
yeah, that's right, Kapu. They've got some strong players.
Manchester United should beat that team. That's really the bigger issue, and a lot of media, a lot of soccer media, especially in England, has been now it's sort of, do we want Mourinho gone? Like that's sort of the question being posed.
Yeah, I mean, it's very rarely, or like very barely, a trickle of that, but
yeah,
that talk has started.
It's there.
You know what started a lot of this was the meme that popped up of Mourinho's face on Louis Van Gaal's body. So like, it's his body and his hairline, but it's Mourinho's face, which, if you're a Manchester United fan, that's got to break your soul. I don't think Louis Van Gaal was that bad, but you've got guys like Rashford who clearly can score. You've got guys like Lindegaard, and you just have like a very robust club. And a lot of them can play defensively. You know, even Ibrahimovic, for everything you want to say about him, he's not afraid to sort of get mixed up in the defensive end. You know, you got guys like Mata, which you ran out of Chelsea because he wouldn't track back. This has to be his worst nightmare. You followed him to his new home.
Look, it's bad. The loss to Watford is bad, But it's what makes it worse is that Manchester City is just amazing.
Yeah, they're unstoppable.
And, you know,
this is without Aguero.
Their best striker is suspended, and they still look incredible.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of pressure.
Which Iheanacho,
Iheanacho.
Mm-hmm. He's scoring.
Let's just say Iheanacho a few more times. We said it quite a bit right there.
Iheanacho. It sounds like we're at a restaurant and someone forgot to bring us nachos. And I'm like, Iheanacho? ¿Qué pasó con Iheanacho? Dame nacho ahora mismo. Yo tengo hambre. Yo quiero nacho. Iheanacho, he's scoring bucket loads while Aguero's gone.
He's doing great. I mean,
what do you do? Do you bring Aguero back or do you ride the hot hand? Let me remind you, I'm going to punch you before you finish your question. Let me remind you, this is Pep Guardiola. Pep Guardiola is known for shit like this.
Well, I think the difference we're seeing in between Guardiola and Mourinho is Guardiola is capable of making a tough decision, right? And it seems like
he's almost like what tough decision can I?
Yeah, Joe Hart. Who's Joe Hart? Yeah.
Send his ass to Torino.
Beloved by whom? Yeah. No, please leave.
Oh wait, you mean he's the national team starting goalkeeper? Yeah, we'll send his ass to Torino. Yeah.
I know a guy. I got a guy.
Don't worry about it. No, I get it, but I got a guy.
So
put your phone down. I got
Mourinho's capable of Guardiola's capable of getting rid of, you know, sticking to his strategy and getting rid of a player that he thinks doesn't fit his system.
Right.
Rooney is a player that seems like does not fit Mourinho's system, or really just doesn't have, you know, he's not who he was 10 years ago. So
I feel like when, you know, players walk into the pitch or walk into the stadium, they're wearing like Beats headphones, and everyone's wearing headphones now, you know. The song playing in Rooney's is "Hello, Darkness, My Old Friend."
Every
time he walks in, he looks lost.
Yeah, his eyes are bleeding when he's walking in. Yeah, like, man, this guy is.
He's really something's emo. Going on. He's really emo. How far have those hair plugs grown in on the inside? He doesn't look like a top tier player at all. And I know he's older, but he doesn't even look like he had the skill.
I feel like this is a great sign for Rooney to MLS.
Say go back to Everton, your boys.
No.
You don't want him back?
No, we're doing fine.
Come on. Hey, that's true. You are. You're in third place.
I think.
Second place, right?
Rooney. Look, it's interesting because I've been hearing a lot about how Rooney is not as beloved as people may think. And I don't know if it's like a sort of a branding thing or
you mean by the players or by the fans?
By the fans. Because I didn't realize this at the time because I wasn't paying attention to Premier League as much. But before LVG got there and after Moyes left, I believe he was trying to leave Manchester United. So fans are not as attached to Rooney sort of starting as people may think. And I think Mourinho is making an emotional decision to keep Rooney on the field, even though he's not.
Which is so out of his, that's out of his style. That's out of, I forget the term I was going to use. That's out of his.
Out of character?
Yeah, sort of. I forget the term, but that's not what you expect out of Mourinho. I mean, the reason they brought Mourinho in was to make the tough decisions and to clean house and come up with a system that can be duplicated both at home and abroad and internationally. And Mourinho style can win, you know, can win cups at home and can win the Champions League and can do it all, or Europa, I guess if you're Man City, but, you know, it can win any international competition. That's kind of what the whole point of it is. It's very cynical. It's very parking the bus, even though it's sort of, you know, evolved a little bit, but do it. You have now taken the reins of the largest club you've had control of since you left Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Do it. There's no reason not to.
And I think this is basically, I mean, there's nowhere else Mourinho's going to go. Like, what other club?
Whatever MLS team bought Mata at the end of all this. Like, Mata cannot get away from this fucking guy. He opens up his cabinet to have cereal and it's Mourinho's.
Yeah, like when I was in
instead of Cheerios.
When I was in fourth grade, I got it.
All right, cool.
When I was in fourth grade, I had the worst teacher I ever had. She was just like the toughest teacher. She was mean. She yelled, and I hated it. It was like the first teacher I hated. You know? I never felt that way before. But all my teachers, especially elementary school, you have all these nice lady teachers, and they coddle you and they're very sweet. And then fourth grade,
that might have only been you.
I remember
being abused by a lot of these teachers.
But I had this Miss Millette. She was the worst. She was just
ever look her up?
I hope she's dead. I'm kidding. No.
You do hope she's dead. That was way too quick of an answer for that not to be real.
No, but she was so mean. And then
most people love mean teachers after they leave, you know, like the ones that were hardest on them. You seem to be holding on.
No,
to this.
I will not forgive her. Yeah. But then
what did she do?
Then
show me on the
fourth
door
grade. So fourth grade was over and I'm like, I did it. I got out and she was awful, but I did it. Guess who's my fifth grade teacher?
No.
Miss Millette again.
God damn it.
I was like, again?
Out of my face, Miss Millette.
To the point where even my mom was like, oh, we got to deal with this lady again. Like, everyone was on board.
She's your Mourinho and your Mata.
Yeah, man.
You're walking in happy as can be. This is going to be great. I won. I beat the dragon. You son of a bitch. As soon as you walk in.
So I think the biggest thing, I think it's tougher for Mourinho, especially being in a city where Manchester City is just now going to be the top team. And they're looking like the favorites to take the title.
Yeah. I mean, come on, 5 games, won them all. They have 15 points. I mean, there's nothing else happening.
Yeah.
I can't see. And this is what we said. This was the fear of, you know, having someone like, you know, Pep Guardiola come into the league with a team that has the amount of money. And you know what? I got to give Man City a lot of credit. You know, when they started buying all these big name players, you know what? They have pumped a ton of money into their development. Look at all these youth players that are coming up. And I know Iheanacho only spent 1 year there, but, you know, I got to give them all the credit in the world. You know, Arsenal's been known for buying all these youth players for so long. The last youth player that made the best striker we've ever developed is freaking Harry Kane, and he's at Tottenham, you know? So I look at that, and I'm like, look at what these guys have been able to do.
Harry Kane's going to be out for a while, too. Injured his ankle. Going to be out for about 2 months, I believe. Yes.
Very happy about that.
I mean, I'm
not happy that he's injured. I'm just happy that he's not going to be with Tottenham, because Tottenham is right now one point ahead of us.
I think we're seeing Manchester City. I mean, one of the best decisions so far, one of the best decisions they ever made was bringing Guardiola and getting rid of
Pellegrini.
Manny Pellegrini. And
mid-season.
Just told him, like, hey, just keep a seat warm.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, do your best. But
you also just realize no matter what you do, nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Yeah, you're out of here. Yeah. Repaint the room. I don't care.
They look great in the Champions League as well. So I think their next match is against Barcelona for Manchester City. We're going to really see where they are relative to the rest of Europe.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think they're going to be all right.
He doesn't have the players that he wants. He doesn't have players that can play his style in every position. But Pep Guardiola has done an amazing job of getting these guys prepared. And I have to give him credit for something else, which is I thought Sterling was a bad buy. You know,
he looked like one of the best players.
He looks like he could get Pogba money in a year or two.
I mean, and it really begs
De Bruyne also.
De Bruyne, he looks incredible.
Yeah.
And it really says something about Guardiola's system where, like, is it kind of the thing where, like Bill Belichick, where, like, anybody who plays, like, when we see, regardless if Brady's gone, Garoppolo's hurt.
Yeah.
There's another, the third stringer. I'm like,
guy was selling peanuts 10 minutes ago, and all of a sudden,
I think they're going to be fine. It suggests that a little bit, like, just Guardiola knows what he's doing, and he really has faith in the players he puts in whatever position, but they play the way he wants them to play.
Sure.
They're going to get positive results.
I look at that with a ton amount of jealousy as an Arsenal fan, because, you know, for everyone who's been calling for Wenger out. You know, no one wants Wenger out because they think Wenger is a bad coach. They just feel like he's past his prime and there's better options out there. And all of us, every single one of us who are an Arsenal fan, have mentioned Pep Guardiola as being the obvious heir to Arsene Wenger. And another team got him. And here we are you know, just sitting here with our, you know, our dicks in our hands. If I could, I didn't have anything else to say. You know, just waiting.
Well, speak for yourself, sir. Yeah. My hands are.
You're an Everton fan. But you know what I mean? We're just sitting here waiting, not doing anything. You know, I don't know what's going on here. And, you know, Arsene Wenger seems to, I mean, things are going fine. Perez hasn't scored yet. Xhaka with a beast of a goal.
Yeah.
You know, and look, they won. I'm happy about their big win. You know,
it was against Hull, though.
It was against Hull. And, you know, Hull went down to 10 men. Did you see the red card that was shown? I forget the gentleman's name who got red carded on Hull.
No, I didn't.
They're round.
They're round.
It was round.
It's not even cards. They're buttons.
Yeah, they're buttons.
They're red buttons.
He picked up a red button. He pulled it out of his pocket. I was like, "It was, hey, yo, homie. He would just, you forget the real ones at home and you cut? You just took this off of like a mat."
He just, the ref just pulls out a Staples "That Was Easy" button. Yeah. Just, that was it. You're out, right?
That was easy. It's disrespectful. You know, I try to pay my bills.
That's
here.
Interesting. No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they were round. They remind me. I think the new badges, the new Barclays. Well, it's not Barclays anymore.
Is that a mistake? Or
no, I think. Well, see, there was another red card.
Did the printing company make a? They yeah. ran out of. We're out of rectangles,
we're
guys.
A lot of rounded edge rectangles. No, it was. You know, the new patch for the Premier League is round.
Yes.
So I thought maybe that's what it was. I thought maybe it had like the lion head on it, but I couldn't see too well. I just know that it was round. It really threw me off. Threw me out of the game for a bit.
just staring at the screen for. Like just pausing the game for like about 15 minutes. Like, whoa, whoa, why?
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
so confused.
Well, let me ask you this. Leicester is playing terribly, right?
Yeah,
well,
they won their game against Burnley. So hopefully they can right the ship. But I think they're
7 points out of 5 matches. They're in 11th place.
Yeah.
Is it all Conte or is the magic over?
I think there's so many differences. And I think they have to adjust. You know,
what's worse, Leicester being in 11th or Manchester United being in 7th?
Manchester United being 7th. I mean, that's.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
even though it's.
I mean, if Pogba was on Leicester, then I'd be like, well, that's worse because look how much money.
So then, look, you do agree with me. World's most expensive player, terrible mistake so far. I mean, that might change, but you know, the hashtag pay to dab seems fitting right now. He hasn't done anything.
He really hasn't. And look, maybe if. You know, like, yeah, maybe he can't show the brilliant sort of at the net and won't have as many goals or whatever, but he's right. Also not really assisting much. He doesn't really like, he doesn't, what's the, he, like creating chances. He doesn't seem like he's creating that many. I think if Pogba was on Man City, I think the team would be great.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
You know, look, I think the Rooney issue, you know, the Rooney rule, you know, whatever. That's another thing, but whatever. That's all I can think of.
It's different.
but I think Rooney being there and starting and just sort of having this like guaranteed spot, similar like how, like, you know, in England, mm-hmm. where he just, for whatever reason, he's not really impressing anybody, but he has like, he's like grandfathered in to his sort of role. Like he's earned, you know, his pass has basically earned him this position to like not be benched, which
if you're a fan of the three lines, if you're English or if you're just a fan of the England national team, you know, Roy Hodgson was someone you couldn't wait to get rid of because he seemed antiquated and he seemed old school and he wasn't adapting with the times. Right.
So let's bring the young man, Sam Allardyce.
He's the young modern man, Sam Allardyce. What apps you got on your phone, Sam? Why did you just throw a flip phone at my head? Your homie ain't got no apps. He doesn't know anything. You bring him in, which, you know what I kind of like? What I like about Sam Allardyce is he's a bit of a taskmaster. You know, they would be playing at a high level every time. He can make a bad team play better. You know, he's the guy you bring in when, you know, a team is about to get relegated or a club is about to get relegated. You bring him in. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So I don't mind that. I don't mind that as much. You think also he's not going to take shit from anyone. He doesn't care. He doesn't care if you're a prima donna. You sit on the bench. No. He says Rooney can play in whatever position he wants for however long you want. That's not what you say, especially now when he's playing like this. And I know that he said that a couple weeks ago, but still, look over, bro. That's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Look, Mourinho has a tough decision to make. I don't even know how tough it is, but it might be slightly unpopular. But, you know, I think the world will continue to, like, revolve around the sun if Rooney is not playing for Manchester United. I think this is Rooney's, unless some, like, unless he finds some form, I think this is his last season.
Is a swan song?
Maybe
he'll go to Swansea.
Yeah, maybe.
Do you think at the end of the season, is Mourinho still the coach of Manchester
United?
He is,
he is. I can't imagine them just giving him one chance. No, unless it really falls apart. But look, they're
even then, I feel like you're pot committed to him. They made a big deal. They made a big deal about him. At the end of the season, beginning of next season.
The problem with these big clubs is that there's so few people that they can even hire.
Yeah, they have to. Like Simeone might be the only other guy they can bring
in. There's literally like, for all the big clubs, there's like six or seven guys that they really trust and who have the experience managing a club of that size.
Maybe they should start a coaching academy, develop their own managers.
Sure. Yeah, I don't want to see how Mourinho yells at those people. Yelling at teenage girls. Yeah,
just a bunch of guys, but a bunch of teenagers with like white hair slicked back in suits standing on the sidelines.
They're all
yelling at the same player. They're like, these guys are developing very fast. We got to have a manager's development academy. That would be hilarious. We got the U8s coming in. It's just a bunch of seven-year-olds.
Yeah.
Get up from there. They
criticize each other just like on how like sag like the bags on their eyes are like you're getting too much sleep, buddy.
Yeah, come on, son. You ain't spending enough time in that tape room. That'd be hilarious.
That would be hilarious.
Somebody wrote a sketch just now, and I think it's us. At the beginning of next season, you think Mourinho will still be manager?
I do.
Rooney still there?
I think Rooney will not be there. If Mourinho stays, I think any will. I don't think Rooney will be there because I don't think he will accept being benched.
Ibrahimovic still there?
No, I think Ibrahimovic is not going to be there.
Pogba.
Pogba will be there.
Will he be a success?
He will be. I think they'll figure it out.
I pretty much agree with you across the board.
Yeah.
I just don't think, I don't know if Pogba's going to work out.
Ibrahimovic will be in MLS next season. Watch, dog. Yeah.
Don't believe me, just watch. I wonder where he goes. Atlanta? You think Atlanta spills the bucket? Is that a term that I just made?
Yeah,
I might have just made that up. Spends like, the cash.
Well, clean it up, Atlanta. What is
Atlanta? Did you just spill that bucket? First of all, who left this bucket? We're having a meeting. It's the MLS.
I guess he's going to be 35. Yeah, I think he's going to give it a crack.
Think he gives it a go?
Yeah.
Aguero's going back to Argentina.
That's what
I don't know if it's the end of the season. He said at the end of this contract, he's done. He's already told everyone. His family wants to go back to Argentina.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so he's done.
All right.
Do you think you could convince him to stop off at NYCFC?
Just
play it. Your family could go ahead to Argentina.
Literally, the connecting flight. I mean,
you know what? You could almost play for both teams, all right? We play in the summer.
I don't know. Well, we'll see.
A lot of stuff happening.
Everton's in second place, and we're very comfortable with that. We're very happy about that.
Arsenal back in our home, fourth place, where we feel most comfortable.
Below Tottenham until the final game of the season.
Come on now. You know that St. Tottenham Day is coming back hard every year, forever. Sorry, Tottenham. Everton's looking great in second place, but I'm not that confident in Everton to maintain that form.
Neither am I.
I was going to say, how do you feel?
They've had a favorable schedule for the beginning of the season. So, and I think that's why the next game is against Bournemouth. Getting
another gimme,
a revenge against Bournemouth
against last year's classic match,
the 3-3 draw because Ross Barkley, Ross Barkley of Funes Mori, who jumped into the Bournemouth stands to celebrate, which added another minute, and they were allowed to score again.
Oh, amazing.
So hopefully.
I think we actually talked about that on this podcast.
We did. Yeah.
At length.
Like I said, the revenge usually comes from a past bad memory.
Right. And was that not like immediately after you chose Everton instead of Arsenal to be your club?
Yeah, just about maybe a week or two after.
Yes, perfect. It was perfect.
I think with a little bit of a lead, look, I don't think they're going to catch up to Manchester City. But
do you think you're getting Champions League? Are you good enough to finish in the top four?
I said at the beginning of when the Premier League started, I said, 10th or 12th.
Yeah, you said mid-table.
Mid-table. I think there'll be... I don't think Champions League. I think...
Would you be happy with Europa?
Yeah, I would be.
You would be?
Yeah.
Fifth place, not bad.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Even fifth will be very, very tough.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I agree. I think Arsenal wins the league somehow. I think some fat guy from New York goes over to Manchester and breaks the knees of a lot of Manchester City players, and Arsenal sneaks right in. I'm happy if we finish second, and I hate saying that, but I mean, you know, I don't think anyone's knocking Manchester City off this patch.
Last season, that was your chance.
Yeah, I mean, how many times did I have that rant, by the way, on this podcast? Multiple times.
Yeah.
All right, why don't we do this? We'll come back with a little bit of Cooligan's Corner right after this break. Another word from our sponsors.
Yeah.
Right after this.
Hey guys, Christian here from the Cooligans. I just want to let you know about Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon makes amazing underwear. They make better underwear than what you're currently wearing right now. What you're wearing right now has holes in it. It's probably terrible. It smells awful. But Mack Weldon, they make great undershirts. They make underwear. I play soccer in a Sunday league. And I wore my underwear just the other day. And I played two games, both 60 minutes apiece. You know, I got one goal, one assist. In both games total, right? So I really busted my ass out there, right? I gave it all for the team. And you know what? My underwear held up. It felt great. It was comfortable. And you know what? At the end of the game, right? After I'm throwing my underwear in the hamper, right? It didn't gross out my hamper, my home. It still smelled great. They have underwear that's made out of these magic fibers that don't pick up any scent whatsoever. They are lovely. So make sure you go to MackWeldon.com and go support the Cooligans. Just use the promo code Cooligans whenever you buy anything at MackWeldon.com, and you'll be helping out the show. You'll be helping out yourself because you can throw away your disgusting underwear. So go to MackWeldon.com and pick up some underwear today.
Cooligan's Corner, baby.
Cooligan's Corner, everybody. Brought to you by Mack Weldon.
MackWeldon.com. Use Cooligan's. We've already said it. You literally just listened
to this. You literally just heard it, but we just want to remind you guys. Because you will be helping.
This is also for our new listener.
Yeah, there's one new listener.
Hello, that's sir not, or ma'am.
Yeah.
You know, you have not made yourself clear just yet. But
you're allowed. You can identify whatever you want. You can be both.
You can be sir, ma'am. You can be ma'am, sir.
Cisgendered. You can be whatever you want to be.
Polyamorous. I don't even know what that means. I don't think that's anything sexual. Whatever
it is,
you want.
It is sexual.
Isn't? Yeah. You're damn right it is. Isn't it always when it comes out of my mouth?
Cooligan's Corner, we just we talk about all the little stories that got through the cracks, and and we'll bring them
that
up.
That spilled out of the bucket. So we, you know, a lot of things happen that not necessarily take up a whole segment or something that really fits. And, you know, I think the first one, I know you and I talked about, but you want to go ahead and read it for the fans.
Yeah. So if you don't know, Tally Hall is a goalkeeper, played for the Houston Dynamo for a long time. He played last season with Orlando City SC. And now Tally Hall will be joining the Orlando Police Department.
Yeah,
the OPD.
Yeah, you know me. the Orlando Police Department, he's joining. We're happy for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's used to stopping shots, and now he's going to be busting shots.
yeah, we hope so.
And we didn't make the hacky
joke.
It's also Florida, so we could have made a Trayvon joke, and we did.
We did not. We are classier.
And by we, I mean I.
Yeah, obviously, it's a tough time for police officers, but obviously, Tally Hall, we hope for the best.
And, yeah, nice. Stay healthy.
He's going to go through, the police academy, and hopefully there's a guy who makes a black man who makes a lot of funny voices.
Maybe a shorter woman who looks a little older. There's a lot.
Yeah.
Or maybe he gets, maybe he has to go, train with an older cop, and it's Denzel Washington who makes him smoke crack,
That would be
you got to get wet.
Yeah, that would be a cool one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, a great movie.
Yeah, so that'd be kind of interesting. Yeah, you don't really. I'm trying to think of other athletes that ended up in law enforcement.
I know Shaq,
Shaquille O'Neal,
who also played in Orlando. I think it's Orlando that does this to you.
I think so.
You go to Orlando, and you're like, you know what I want to do?
Yeah.
Wear a damn badge and a gun. as soon as you get down there. That goes to show how little there is to do in Orlando. And there's just nothing
just
to do.
Everyone's a cop.
I'm just gonna become a cop. There's nothing to do here.
Hey, you want to go out tonight? Nah, I'm just going to become a cop.
I think I'm just going to become a cop. Hey, guys, I'm selling my boat. Why? I'm just going to become a cop. I can't do this anymore.
You don't want to go to Dairy Queen? Nah, I'm trying to become a cop.
TCBY? Nah, Dunkin' Donuts? Yeah, I'll go to that one. Yeah, I get it.
I know.
He's a cop.
I know. Shaq became a sheriff, I think, in Phoenix or something like that.
Yeah, but Steven Seagal, I don't know, he's not an athlete, but he became a cop in New Orleans.
Yeah, but this seems like legit, where he's like going through the whole process, as opposed to Shaq was like, it seemed like when someone gets an honorary degree from like a university,
where you're
just like, here's a little badge and have your fun. And like you
take pictures of how small our gun looks in his hand. You know, now Tally Hall is like, get up and run across that, carry that body.
This is going to be real. Look, being a cop in Florida cannot be easy.
Yeah.
You know, just because of the ridiculously lax gun laws. Everyone has a gun. Everyone is afraid of each other.
Yeah, you did not level up by becoming a cop.
Exactly.
The only thing you get to do is wear bulletproof jackets everywhere, bulletproof vests everywhere you go.
But yeah, props to him. I hope
good luck. Stay healthy.
The best. Yeah, yeah.
And it only goes to show that MLS needs to change their payment scale. You get out of a league, you're 30 something years old, and now's the time to get into civil service. And well, it's like, I told you to fill out that police sergeant's test.
Yeah.
Years ago, playing with that soccer ball. I don't know why his mom is a Long Island Jewish woman.
It would be sad to find out that the Orlando Police Department makes more money than an MLS player.
I'm pretty sure they have the same starting salary.
Now on to in England, in Manchester. We were just talking about them, but in Manchester City, Yaya Toure has not really been around. He hasn't really played much.
Last year he was upset about not getting a birthday cake. How do you think he feels this year?
He is not getting much playing time. He's either benched or he's left off the team sheet entirely. Obviously his agent is upset about this.
Yeah.
And publicly said that Pep Guardiola is humiliating a great midfielder by leaving him off the bench.
Which I wouldn't disagree with.
It's obviously not fun. It's like, this is what would be happening if Rooney was benched, essentially, right?
Yeah.
But now Pep is saying, which is a very strange sort of reality show back and forth. It almost seems scripted.
Yeah, it almost seems like a Mourinho move, to be honest.
A very Mourinho move. But yeah. Pep Guardiola, and I hope it wasn't just, or you know, who knows? I mean, it is pretty funny.
Yeah.
He responded by saying, I will play Yaya.
Oh, I'll consider playing Yaya.
I'll consider playing Yaya when his agent apologizes to me.
Oof.
Which is, what a weird thing to be in the middle of, Yaya.
Yeah.
It's just like,
yeah, he's like, can mom and dad just get along and invite me to these parties?
Just, dad, apologize to mom.
Come on. I want to go back. Your food sucks, dad.
It is a rough position to be in. Yaya is, he's 33 years old. Obviously, he should be playing.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he doesn't. He's not the right fit. You know, it was a big issue before Guardiola arrived, where Yaya felt like he was like going to be in this position where he was going to be playing, and this is exactly what is happening. So it's odder that his agent is sort of arguing with him. It seems like Yaya was someone they could not get rid of, and now they have to deal with him.
Yeah, and it also just seems to me like the agent was defending Yaya, so that's not a big deal. You know, I get it on both ends. I understand both sides of it. But, I mean, dude, if Pep's not going to play him, don't make the agent go through this process.
Just publicly apologize.
And then you still don't get what you wanted.
You're going to have to apologize to me in a UFC octagon.
Yeah. Oh, you really want to get in. Have you ever seen American Ninja Warrior? All right, well.
You're going to have to go through a couple obstacles. Then once you finish climbing the wall, I will be up there where you will apologize to me.
There won't be a button. It'll just be me. And you have to do it all while wearing a teddy bear costume. So there's kids involved.
Yeah, so clearly he hates Yaya Toure. That's at least we know that for sure.
Yeah, he's done with Yaya.
Yeah.
How about this? Clean swap, Yaya for Rooney, huh? Is that possible?
I'm sure Pep would love that.
I'm sure Yaya would love to be better than Pogba.
Next up, we have Christian Pulisic in the news. Christian Pulisic, what?
Youngest player to score in the Champions League? No, to assist in the Champions League.
Assist in the Champions League. He scored a goal in the Bundesliga just last weekend. And obviously, look, he's great.
We can't stop talking about him. He's beasting.
In America, people are sort of going crazy. For the fact that not only is just we have an American player playing in Germany and
top
well,
level,
and getting starts and playing well. He's also a child.
He's a very young man.
So now we know
Now I think he just turned 18, right?
He just turned 18.
All right, so now he can buy porn in this country, but he cannot buy beer yet. He can't buy alcohol yet in this country. And look how amazing he's playing.
Well, who's buying porn?
You know, legally he's not. Fine, he can vote.
He can vote. He can buy cigarettes.
Yeah, he could buy cigarettes.
So we have that.
That's the new porn.
Well, until we figure out how to make cigarettes free.
Yeah, which I'm sure they will be soon. First one's free.
But Christian Pulisic, obviously having a great time in Bundesliga and doing well. He has been added,
which is a big honor for him, ladies and gentlemen.
Big honor. He has been added to the MLS allocation list.
Whoa.
Crazy.
Big honor.
I mean, look, only legends.
Yeah.
Future Hall of Famers get
we hear he's getting on an airplane right now to accept this honor.
So MLS has added him to the MLS allocation list, which is clearly like a formality. There's no real reason for him to come to MLS, but in case that is a possibility at some point in his future, he will. MLS has whatever rules to basically decide what team gets to pick him,
right,
or gets to offer him a deal. And again, crazy MLS rules. We have,
But I mean, look, the big deal is that he wasn't on this list before. He wouldn't have been on this list before. I know now that he's 18, he qualifies for it, but
yeah,
he wouldn't have been on this list before if he wasn't starting and if it wasn't national team presence. Now that he is, he gets to be on this list. So all jokes aside, it is kind of an honor because it shows where he is in his career. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, he's made it or that he wins anything, but it just goes to show that at 18 years old, he is now at the level where he's on the national team pretty consistently, and I expect him to be a starter during the World Cup, and he's playing big, big minutes for his team, and if an MLS team wanted him, it wouldn't be him coming back home with, you know, his tail between his legs. He would come in as a star. He would very clearly be a DP level, and he's 18. That's incredible.
Yeah, so
when I was 18, I wasn't doing nothing.
Given that he's 18, as Americans, we're excited. We get to exploit him for about a decade.
I mean, yeah.
Right, so we're pretty happy about that.
Come on, I would if I could. Are you kidding me?
So it's gonna, yeah.
Imagine his name was Cooligans Pulisic. Oh.
Okay.
We got to pay him to change his jersey.
Legally make a change.
Or maybe he chose to work Cooligans on the back of his jersey.
How much can we offer him for him to change his first name?
Let me just look through my pockets. How about 32 cents? How about 32 cents?
He also did say that for his 18th birthday, he will be going to a Justin Bieber concert.
Oh.
So obviously he has his finger on the pulse of the hot tracks. Yeah.
Anything's better than Dempsey rapping. So who cares?
And finally, on Cooligan's Corner, this is a pretty interesting story. There was a German goalkeeper who played for. Let me get the name of the team correct because I don't want to mess it up. It's loading my screen. SV Van der Ort. So a lower league German club playing against their rival PSV Oberhausen.
Powerhouse.
Obviously, tough game. Obviously, yeah. When any derby, we know it's a big deal.
Always a lot of emotion attached to it.
But this game got a lot of interest because this the keeper, Marco Kwiatek, gave up 43 goals.
Okay, in a season.
In one game, in a derby game, which obviously it stands out a little bit more when it's a derby game. The 43. In 90 minutes.
Was he the only one on the pitch for SV Dungeldagen or whatever the
SV Van der Ort. SV Voldemort. SV name who we do not mention.
Volkswagen VW Voldemort.
So, there were a bunch of issues with the game. Apparently, the team didn't have enough players to fill the team.
Yeah, surely.
So they only had eight players, and then PSV Oberhausen felt really bad about it because they were really getting them. They're really running up the score.
I think what people don't realize is that some of those goals were for the other team. That we're scoring these in your honor, you know.
Yeah, they were gifts. Yeah,
yeah. And let me show you this. That's for you.
So PSV they removed three of their players so they can be even.
Right.
And it was still 35-0 at halftime. So obviously, look, obviously, very, I mean, your face is red after probably about the 25th goal. You're like a little bit embarrassed.
I think at 5-0, you start to really worry that friends and family are there. And then at around 35, you're just like, why are we even playing?
But then about a few days later, goalkeeper Marco Kwiatkowski was arrested by German police, by armed police. So they arrested him because obviously they are concerned about match fixing of some kind. But
what was the over under? 30, like 42? And like, you just had to get it up to that 43rd. You just had to get
it. It seems
there.
A bit odd to arrest him. It's like, I mean, look, if it was like 7-8 and some of the goals looked like a little fishy,
right?
Then you're like, okay, maybe there's a case here. But, well, you know.
I think you should arrest him for not match fixing and still letting through that many goals. You know what I mean?
It's a crime.
Yeah.
It's like Tally Hall coming to go, coming to arrest him.
He's a goalkeeper detective. Oh my God. We just wrote a show.
This is a great show.
Goalkeeper detective. Terribly. Oh.
So he's going to come interview him, put a hot light in front of him with his keeper gloves on. Of course, he doesn't want to burn his hand.
You don't want to do that. Yeah, you use that. So where were you on the night of? The show.
Well, yeah, where were you on the night? Oh, I was on the pitch giving up a ton of goals.
Right.
Remember me?
I do remember that. Case closed. Terribly. Goalkeeper detective.
This is, I mean, at the very least, this seems like a waste of the you know, the police's time, right? I mean, you're spending tax money to investigate if this was match fixing. This, even if it was match fixing, right. This guy's at least benched. I mean, he's not going to get another call up.
Yeah, I think he's good. And also, you really kept the sanctity of the fourth division there in Germany.
Yeah, people do respect. I'm like, well, at least the police are doing their work. You know,
Murderers? No, they're still running around. Rapists all over the place. Goalkeepers who let in too many goals? Got him. Next week on Tally Hall, Goalkeeper Detective.
It's a great show. Yeah, catch it on NBC.
NBCSN. Oh, man.
All right, guys.
Yeah.
Another fun show. Shared a lot of laughs. We had a good time.
Like a real mom thing to say at the end of the day. Well, this was fun.
Well, it was fun. But you boys had fun?
We had fun.
Look, as long as there are one new listener, I had a good time.
One new listener. Let us know. Anyone, feel free to let us know. Whatever, any thoughts you might have, soccercooligans@gmail.com. If you're thinking to yourself, who are these funny people that I've been listening to this entire time? I'll tell you, my name is Alexis Guerrero.
My name is Christian Polanco.
And together we are the Cooligans!